Forks and Spoons, Knives and Other Cutlery. I'm your host, Christina.
And I'm Tori.
And this is episode 19 of Cullin' the Shots, the podcast where we reminisce on the good old Twilight days. Woo! Yeah, so this episode is a movie review episode, finally. We've been reading so much on this podcast. Now we got to take a break, and we finally got to watch part one of the Breaking Dawn movie. Before we get into our feelings, thoughts, and notes from the movie, we're going to go into our icebreaker quiz, which is again from BuzzFeed. It's titled, Be Honest. Would you save or break these Twilight couples? Which is a little different than the quizzes we've usually done because this one has nothing to do with the actual storyline. It's just the character.
Just our opinions.
So I guess, Tori, would you like to read the first selection to choose from?
All right. So our first couple is Alice and Jasper. Would you save or break them?
My favorite part is that it doesn't really give you, like, that's it.
From your own knowledge.
Yeah, it's just, here's Alice and Jasper. Whether you know the characters or not, would you save or break them? I mean, I guess save. They've been fine as a couple so far.
I'm going to say break, just because I think Alice deserves better.
So on mine, it says 91% people say save, and only 9% said break. The next couple is Rosalie and Emmett. Save or break?
I'm going to save them. I love them. I have no qualms.
I feel like that should be 100% save.
Yeah.
No.
Why do people want to break them up?
71% of people said save. 29% of them said break.
Yeah, what did Emmett and Rosalie ever do to you? The next controversial is Bella and Edward. That girl needs some time on her own. I'm breaking them.
You're right. I'm like, even after watching this movie, I was like, literally so much is happening. I'm break. 65% said save. 35% said break. I just think they need time apart from each other, you know? The next couple is Esme and Carlisle. Save or break?
Save 100%. There's absolutely no reason to break up this beautiful union.
I'm looking at the screenshot photo that they have in this quiz for that couple. And literally in Breaking Dawn, Esme's hair does not look like that at all. 95% said save and only 5% said break.
That 5% is because they want Carlisle. Okay, Jessica and Mike. I'm going to say save because how many options do you really have in Forks? And also, they're both pretty decent people, so might as well.
I think in the movie, they still stay together, maybe. But the book, they don't. 71% save and 29% said, oh, wait, no. 71% said break and 29% said save.
Wow, they did not agree.
They didn't agree. The next couple is Angela and Ben.
That's definitely a picture of Eric.
That's not Ben. Save or break?
If we're talking about Angela and Ben, I'm going to save because Ben's an icon.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's definitely not Ben. But
I love how they'd be like, yeah, we'll just have a picture of Angela and Eric because there's no Ben in the movie and people are just going to be fine with it. Let's save them.
They said nobody's going to know.
They said 60% said save, 40% said break.
All right. Emily and Sam. I feel like you can't break them up because he imprinted on her. Like, who am I?
Who am I to break up this spiritual union? Yeah. The thing is, when you say break for some of these couples, I'm like, what is their other option? So I guess save them too. 77% said save, 23% said break. Benjamin and Tia, save or break? I don't know Tia.
I literally could care less. I'm going to say break just because I'm in a silly, goofy mood.
Just for funsies. I'm going to say save just to see what's the... 73% said save, 27 said break. I don't know who this Tia person is. Oh boy.
All right, and last, but most definitely least, Jacob imprinting on Renesmee. Break or ultra break? Ultra break.
I'm glad we're all the same.
Why did 18% of people say just regular break? 82% of people say ultra break.
Oh.
What's up with the other 18%?
Y'all, do we need to have a discussion about why this needs to be an ultra break with like so much emphasis on the ultra break? And the screenshot they used for that one was not, it was a scary looking one. Scary demon baby. Yeah, so this quiz doesn't really have like a overall, you are this person. It's just,
we just wanted to get our opinions.
I'm looking at the comments and someone said, who is breaking up Carlisle and Esme? Y'all sick.
Honestly.
Another person said, why is no one talking about the picture of Renesmee? She looks like something out of a horror movie.
She really does. True. Terrifying.
Someone said, so there's no save for Jacob and Renesmee? No.
No. Why would there be a save? Someone said, I would never break Bellward.
That sounds like a herbal plant. I would never
it really does.
Bellward. Bellward the herb. So that was our introductory icebreaker quiz. And now I guess we can go into our initial thoughts from watching Breaking Dawn Part 1. I haven't watched this movie in a while. So honestly, I was like, I don't know what happens here and when it ends. Like, you know, what is the part that they're going to stop at and then, you know, continue when it comes to Part 2. But I mean, it was like a new experience to me. I was like, oh, I didn't know this happened.
I didn't really remember much of it either, but I remembered that the like very end was her opening her eyes and they're all red. That's literally all I remembered.
Like I knew some of the events that would happen in this movie, like the wedding and the honeymoon and I guess some of the like pregnancy. I guess it makes sense for them to kind of stop it as soon as she's finished her vampire transformation. But
I think it was like a good retelling of the book. I think it like fit really well with the book, you know. I don't mm-hmm. think it diverged too much, but it did seem like halfway through it felt like a completely different movie, like beginning so romantic and they're like wedding and on their honeymoon, and then all of a sudden it's like she's pregnant and she turns into like a little demon and her bones are cracking. It was freaky.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little dramatic, honestly.
Like the I'll probably repeat this again, but like the part when she falls over because she's literally about to give birth, I replayed it twice because I was like, holy shit.
I know, I literally like wrote down, the birth scene freaks me out, her spine cracks, I want to vom.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's so
I guess the other thing that I wanted to bring up before we dive deep into the summaries and just how we felt about the movie is that they recently put all the Twilight movies onto Netflix. And I'm like, really? You did this now after we've pretty much completed or are finishing up watching all of the Twilight films? I could have saved so much money.
I know. I bought these. And for what?
I rented them off of Amazon Prime. And for why? I can just watch them on Netflix now. Does that mean I'm going to rewatch the rest of the movies or the movies before this one? I don't know. Maybe the first one, but I really don't want to rewatch New Moon or Eclipse. I guess the book is the same way, where it's like super romantic because of the wedding and the honeymoon. And then like suddenly so much action and stuff goes on. I will say that like there are a lot of things that happen in the movie that didn't happen specifically in the book. I think I like the way that they did it in the movie because it just seems more interesting visually, which makes sense because it's a movie as opposed to like reading Bella's thoughts about what's happening. The movie does start off with the wedding preparations. If I remember correctly, it's like Bella who is trying really hard to practice walking in her wedding heels that Alice has given her. Then it just kind of goes right into the preparations for the wedding. I will say though, so right before, the day before the wedding, Edward goes on his bachelor's party trip with his brothers, but like the brothers Emmett and Jasper are like jumping up and down the side of Bella's house, and I'm like, how does Charlie not hear this?
I was wondering that too. I was like, is he not there?
Like they're making so much noise and they're not whispering, they're like talking at a normal volume and just jumping up and down the side of Bella's house. I was like, does Charlie not hear this? What the heck? Also the fact that like, so Bella's like packing up her stuff because she's going to move out of her dad's house and in theory, you know, move in with Edward, whether that's in the Cullen's family home or otherwise. And the last thing she looks at is the dream catcher that Jacob gives her or gave her previously. And then all of a sudden, Edward just pops out of nowhere. And I was like, ah, okay. I don't know. I think it's weird that like she was already packing up all her stuff. I'm like, you don't got to move out right away.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was weird too, especially like, does she just assume she's going to move in with the Cullens? Like, what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
She's not packing for her honeymoon or anything.
I know. I was like very confused as to why she's packing up all her stuff, because they hadn't even explained or gotten to the part where either of them said like, oh yeah, after the wedding, we're going to move here or move into this house or whatever it was, but that was never explained.
Yeah, that probably should have been discussed prior to the wedding.
They probably should have brought that up before Bella started packing up her childhood room. I don't know. The other thing that I wrote down in terms of notes, the night before the wedding, Bella has this dream that, you know, she's walking down the aisle, getting married to Edward, everything's great. And then suddenly that scene of all white clothing and the wedding turns into like blood splatter all over the place. And there, Bella and Edward are standing on top of a pile of bodies, which are all their friends and family who are humans. And I just thought that was funny. Ah, symbolism. I think in that same scene, there's also the Volturi who suddenly become the people who would be marrying them, but obviously they aren't actually the people doing that. But I just thought that scene was funny to watch.
What if they were, though? Like, Aaron just doing their wedding.
Oh my goodness. Imagine that.
Not about the wedding specifically, but in this movie, he's like explaining to her like the night before their wedding that he's like killed people.
Oh yeah,
but
yeah.
That happens in the Twilight book. Like, I feel like it's very weird to like in the movies hold it off until the day before they're married when she's supposed to know this from the beginning. I would be so sick if I like found out this the night before I was gonna get married.
But the way that he's like, there's things about me that you don't know. That just goes into, I've killed people before.
She's like, what, are you a virgin?
Which, like, they kind of talk about that in the books too, but not during that part specifically. Yeah, I mean, and they like showed a scene where it's like Edward back in the past when he's still a newborn vampire and like hunting all these bad people who are like attacking innocent or just people who aren't able to defend themselves. I mean, I thought that scene was fine. It's like your stereotypical when you think of like back in the day with the page boy hats and the, when you think old time clothes and the scenery, that's basically what happens in the movie.
The only other thing that I have like about the wedding that they added that wasn't in the book is everyone gave speeches, and Jessica's speech was hilarious. Mm-hmm. Like, going on a jealous rant, she's like, well, I guess Edward didn't want me, so here we are at your wedding.
She's like, I guess he didn't want the, like, she says, like, the president of the student council or something, something, like, captain of the volleyball club or something. Yeah. Like that. I was like, oh.
Primer plays Jessica.
I literally was like, Jessica's reception toast. Oh my God. There was another thing that they added in the, I guess, the wedding scene that didn't happen in the books. Irina was at the wedding. She was not at the wedding in the books. And she like started getting upset when the Denali sisters finally met Edward and Bella at the wedding. Irina's like still upset about Laurent and all that stuff. I was just like, oh, you weren't even supposed to be in this wedding. Okay, that's fine.
And then she gets all mad when she sees Seth and runs away. Mm-hmm. And that's like why she leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do Seth like that. He's a sweet boy.
Sweet, sweet Seth. He looks like a little puppy. Like, he just has literally such a baby face.
He's so cute.
He's so cute. Every time he was on screen, I was like, oh, look at him. He's like a little puppy.
Literally.
The other notes that I had was Rosalie, gorgeous as ever. Literally the first time that you see her in this movie, I was like, oh, Rosalie's so beautiful.
I know, she looks so good. Alice's hair I don't like as much in this. I like miss her like spiky look, you know?
Yeah, it's not spiky. I don't even know how you would explain her hairstyle. It's
like
not
slicked down.
Yeah, I was like, it's not slicked back, but it's definitely not like it's very close to her head instead of being wildly pointing outwards. I did think it was funny that for the preparations of the wedding, they had the Cullen family members just kind of carrying logs into the backyard. And then Emmett's like, where do you want this? Emmett's just holding like this big ass log chair. Where do you want this? Rosalie too. Rosalie just carrying like log sized chairs. Where do you want this? Oh yeah. And then also the part, we talked about this when we got to that part in the book, but when they are going through their vows during the wedding, they're literally just making out in front of everyone. Of course, yeah, there's no point where Emmett had to interrupt them so they could wrap it up, because the movie romanticize it in the way where it's just like, oh yeah, here they are making out because they love each other and everything's fine. But I was like, realistically, I'd be like, damn, they're kissing a lot. Like, when literally that doesn't normally happen in a wedding ceremony. It's just like a quick peck on the lips and then they're like, we did it.
Yeah, that'd be so uncomfortable. I'd be like, do you think they forgot about us?
Do they know that we're here? At some points, I think when while they were still making out, it made it seem like the audience or everyone who had attended the wedding like would slowly fade out, so there was no one around them. I guess it's just like a stylistic choice for the filmography, but you know, they kept that part in the movie.
I wish they would have kept everybody in the audience and like shown their terrified faces. Like just horrified.
I really wanted to hear Emmett be like, ahem. They could break it up, but nope, I didn't get that, but whatever, it's fine. I can't remember at what point this is in the movie. It's still in the beginning, perhaps during the ceremony or maybe after. Edward says something like, I've been waiting a very long time. They're like around the people, the guests at the wedding, and I was like imagining people being like, isn't Edward like 18?
I literally was thinking that. I was like, I would just lean over and be like, isn't he 17?
Yeah.
What do you mean a very long time?
He's like, I've been waiting a very long time for this, or, you know, whatever the full phrase was. And I just couldn't help but think that everyone around him is probably like, isn't Edward just like 17, 18? What is he talking about? So dramatic.
I love the like scene where Bella's parents are looking at the graduation caps. Mm. Like, this is weird. And Renee's like, no, it's so creative. And he's like, yeah, that's it. I wonder what they're thinking. Like, do they think they just like outsourced all these graduation caps to like make a design?
I thought that part was funny too. When Jacob goes to the wedding reception. We said this before for the book portion, but like you can really see how much more excited Bella was to see Jacob than she was during the entire wedding ceremony with Edward. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, I don't understand at all.
I was like, you look so happy and like affectionate with Jacob. This is weird.
She doesn't smile once her entire wedding, and then she like sees Jacob for a second and she's like, wow.
Yeah, I was so shocked. And I knew that because we read it in the book, but just watching it in the movie version, I was like, excuse me, you're married.
I know. Speaking of Jacob, I am so thankful that they didn't choose to include that scene where he drives to a playground to look for
something. Oh my gosh, yes.
I'm so glad they didn't, because I did not need that.
Well, there wasn't really much of what happens during Jacob's point of view in this movie, and I was like, good.
Thankfully.
I was like, I don't want to go through this. But they did have to cut around a bit just to kind of explain the parts with the wolves.
It was very hard to keep track.
I'm trying to think if there were any notes that I had for the honeymoon part right before we get to them going back, though. I guess not. I don't know. I couldn't help but think like, how great is it that you have a partner that is like virtually indestructible, so you don't really have to worry about like your own physical safety? Because they were like going on hikes and swimming and all that stuff, and I was like, oh man, that looks fun. I know. That looks like so much fun.
Oh, what was up with that really randomly added 2-minute like dance scene of them stopping in Rio and him being like, come on, let's go. And they like dance for a second and like stare at other couples that are like making out. And then,
they start making out.
Like what, why does he think that Bella would like that? Like, why would you take her in the middle of this like dance place? She doesn't dance. She'd probably be very sick about that off character. But I was like, it's just so random. It's 2 minutes of them getting out of a taxi, dancing and kissing for a second and going on. How did it add to the story at all?
I don't know. I think whoever was like putting that scene together was like, how do we emphasize that this is a very romantic moment and they're on a honeymoon? And I'm like, I mean, you could just have them go directly to the resort island.
You know, I was like wondering if it was because they're trying to explain where Isla Esme is, because they stop in Rio.
But you can kind of tell, because the one scene is that like really famous statue. I think it's of Jesus, which is in Rio.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
I don't get it either. I'm like, they should have just gone, you know, taken the boat straight to Isla Esme.
You wouldn't like to be dancing like this. You had to like basically force her to go to prom with you. What makes you think she's going to stop in the middle of the street and just dance, weirdo?
Even the part where they're like, they were just watching other people making out. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I mean, the house when they get to the island is really pretty.
Yeah, it is really pretty.
The island house. I was like, ooh. I also couldn't help but think about all the mosquitoes though, but like, that's just me being realistic. I was like, God, there's so many bugs, I'm sure. They do, I mean, I guess they still keep the part when, so Edward asks Bella if she wants to go out for an evening swim, and so they do. But, like, the waters looked really rough while they were out there, and I was like, you guys are just, like, making out in the middle of the ocean? That makes me uncomfortable.
I was thinking that looked scary.
I was like, this is dangerous, because, like,
the water's pitch black.
Yeah! I was like, this is not safe. Me being so realistic, like, guys, this is not safe. I mean, they still kept the first time they have sex, and then he breaks the headboard. Or is it the headboard? It looks like he breaks the whole entire bed frame.
It's like a whole canopy thing that
he breaks. The whole thing breaks. There's like a very, very thin piece of wood where I guess would be where a headboard is. And it like breaks when he puts his hand on it. And Belle's just like, it's fine. It's fine.
But I love that the next morning when he, like, sees, he's, like, looking at her and he gets all upset about hurting her or whatever. There's literally a singular tiny bruise on her shoulder. It is a small-ass little bruise. And he's like, ugh. I can't believe it. Like, he, like, destroyed her or something. It's barely a bruise. It's a teeny little circle.
For some reason, when, like, they showed that scene, I was like, I don't know why I envisioned it being a lot more, like, a darker pigmented color. Like, I expected it to be, I expected it to be, like, a very, very intense bruise. But literally, that's, like, that's, like, the type of bruise when you're just, like, somebody's gripping you a little bit too hard. Not, like, being, like, very, very forcefully in pain from being, like, held or hurt physically. But, yeah. I was like, I don't know why. I thought it was going to be a lot darker.
Yeah.
Like, just like more intense busted. Looking. I expected her. I expected them to show more bruising.
Disappointed. I've literally gotten worse bruises from people like stopping me from walking into traffic because I'm dumb. Like they'll grab my shoulder and I'll get this huge bruise worse than Bella's. I don't understand.
I have seen like people will get worse bruises from doing blood work.
That's me.
People will get horrible bruises simply from blood work. That's fine.
She has like a pinky size bruise on her shoulder and he's like, I can never forgive myself. You could have done that if you were not a vampire.
Maybe they were trying to tone it down because they didn't want to like,
I don't know, because they sure didn't tone it down at the end when her spine's like,
that's true.
Like, we don't want to scare them yet.
What is the rating for this movie, though? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's PG-13, but apparently it was originally rated R. So what changed?
They were like, no, those bruises are too intense. We gotta tone it down.
And, like, in my head, I pictured her, like, black eyes, her entire body, like, ripped apart, like, half her hair missing. Like,
holy shit.
But this tiny little bruise, I'm offended. But I love all of the scenes of Edward, like, trying to distract her. They're, like, playing, like, chess or something, and she, like, throws it all and goes to kiss him, and then he's like, nope, let's actually go do this instead. She's, like, on top of him under the waterfall, and he, like, goes underwater and disappears and pops up to the other side of the lake.
The way that they played, I don't know if it was chess or checkers, but they played one of them the entirety of the trip, it felt like. I was like, dang. And of course, Bella would try her best to get him to try to have sex with her again by like wearing lingerie on different days, but nope.
He laughed at her.
I know. When she wore the black.
He really started laughing at her. I'd be sick.
I would be so, because she's already self-conscious. I would be, my self-esteem would be like, bleh.
I know.
I would have plummeted. Oh, the whole part when she finds out that she's pregnant was so fast. She's like, oh no, I'm a few days late with my period. And she only remembers that because she looks in her bag and she sees the Tampax box filled with tampons. And that's what she remembers her period. She just like jumps very quickly to the conclusion that like she's pregnant, even though.
She's like, my period's late and I'm eating raw chicken. That it can only mean one thing. I'm pregnant.
She didn't even take a pregnancy test. Like, I don't know. I feel like usually if you think you're pregnant, you like take a pregnancy test and then you like evaluate from that point. Obviously, oftentimes people just have like, oh no, I'm pregnant kind of thoughts constantly. But
why is that your first thought?
She like didn't really go through a lot of the like what you usually do when you're trying to actually see if you are pregnant or not. And then it just like as soon as they get to that point in the movie timeline, okay, Bella figures she's pregnant. Then it's like everything rushes. I kept thinking like, oh, when is Bella gonna have time to call Rosalie? Like, I kept waiting for that part in the movie to happen. I didn't actually know if it was gonna happen, but it did. And then even the scenes with the Brazilian housekeepers, where the woman who part of the native tribe that has like the stories about the bloodsuckers or the vampires. I don't know. I expected them to be more aggressive. Like, there's supposed to be a scene where Edward and the woman like have an argument, but like they don't.
They're like, gotta keep this half of the movie light. It'll spook ya.
I did think it was funny when Belle and Edward are about to leave and the housekeeper woman stops by the house just to check and make sure that Bella's alive. Edward's like begging the woman, the housekeeper, to like, you know, if there's a way to save Bella, let him know. And the woman just walks up to Bella, puts her hand on Bella's stomach, and she just goes, death. And I was like cracking up at that scene.
Bella was probably like, what the fuck?
This woman just goes up to Bella's stomach, puts her hand on it, and is like, death.
Death.
Yeah, so Bella and Edward get back to Forks. Charlie is at Jacob's place because, I don't know, he's just hanging out with Billy. Jacob stops by and then Charlie's like, he got a call from Bella and the story at that time was that Bella got sick, so they're extending the honeymoon. But Jacob knew that wasn't the case, so he like automatically drives to the Cullen house on his motorcycle, basically storms into the house and is encountered by Carlisle, who's like, maybe this isn't the best time, Jacob. And then they see the pregnant Bella.
She looks freaky, like pregnant.
She looks so sick, like dying almost. Like there's no color in her skin. She looks so frail and just like not healthy at all.
Yeah, and in the books, when she starts drinking blood because it's, you know, it helps her, she looks better and like starts to get her color back. Yeah. And gain the weight back, but that does not happen in the movie. She just gets like skinnier and paler and it's so freaky.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand that when she turns into a vampire, how she doesn't stay that skinny. Like she just goes back to how she used to. Wouldn't you just have turned how she was?
Well, so I even had this like, and I'm jumping a little bit to the part where like Bella's already kind of close to her term of the pregnancy, however long that was. I feel like it was just like 2-3 weeks or something like that. I was like, imagine if she so Edward has like this giant syringe filled with his venom. Don't know how they were able to get that from him. Like I don't even know how that would work.
Yeah, how does that work?
But he has this giant syringe filled with his venom and he like stabs it into Bella's heart or her chest. I just couldn't help but think, what if Bella's body started failing a lot faster while they were trying to deliver the baby, and then Edward tries to like inject the venom into her body? So that means that Bella would potentially become a vampire while still like pregnant, and that means she'd have to be stuck in this pregnant state. I was like,
ooh,
right?
Scary.
Because like if you think about it, you have to you when you turn into a vampire, you remain in the previous state that you were in, right?
In yeah, theory? Exactly.
But before they get to the actual delivering of the baby, yeah, with the wolf pack, a lot of the details kind of switch around. Like, so Jacob gets upset after realizing or like noticing that the baby is literally killing Bella, or that the fetus is literally killing Bella. And so he like angrily, you know, goes wolf form and then meets the rest of Sam's wolf pack. But like that meeting scene in general, I thought was so funny because it's like a bunch of howling and then everyone is in their wolf form and they just meet and they just start like attacking each other. I was like,
wait, was this when they had their like weird little wolf talk?
Yeah.
Like, I hated that.
That echo when they were like, their voices were echoing while they're in
the their voices room. Sounded so bad and the voiceovers were so bad. It was giving like very bad anime dub. You know, like I'm the villain here to destroy you. Like I hate that.
Yeah, it was cracking up. That scene was so funny.
It was like the dialogue was so ridiculous. Like it felt like a Transformers cartoon or something.
Jacob being like, I am the grandson of Ephraim Black. I do not answer to another house. I was cracking up during that scene. Oh my god. It's so funny.
There were people talking because this definitely isn't the people that plays these wolves. I was like, what?
Yeah, the transition with like anything involving the wolf pack, like it just moved so quickly. They like very quickly were like, we're going to destroy the Cullen family because of this demon half vampire half human baby. And then Sam's pack and Jacob's little pack separate, and then there's that. They do have a part where one of the Cullen members they explain to Jacob that like the whole family hasn't hunted in weeks, and Emmett looks so sad.
Aww.
And it made me sad. He's just like, he's so hungry. I was like, oh my God, they're starving him, a poor boy. He looked so sad. I was like, oh my God.
He deserves better.
He's hungry. And then they're fucking giving Bella O negative blood pouches when the rest of the family is so hungry. I was like, oh my God. And Jacob's like, you would risk your lives to save Bella? And they're like, yeah, she's part of our family.
They're like, duh.
So now passing forward to the part where Bella's giving birth. I forgot that for that scene, they use that like creepy corpse doll of Bella. Like, it's not actually Bella. And then when I remembered that that was how they filmed that part of the movie, I was like, oh, that's creepy. They're like acting to this very scary looking version of Bella.
I want to know why, like, after Bella has the baby, nobody tries to save her anymore. Like, Edward's, like, cooing at the dumb thing, like, it's Renesmee, and, like, she's just sitting there dying. Like in the book, they don't stop giving her, like, CPR or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're like, nah, she's fine. She's, like, actively dying on this table, and he's like, wow, this baby.
I know. I remember in the book, it was a lot more just, like, everything was acted with urgency. Baby is delivered, and then he just like passes it on to the next person and then immediately starts to attempt to save Bella. But that doesn't really happen, or that's not what it looks like in the movie.
No, she literally like dies, like mm-hmm. She's completely gone. Okay, does that make her a zombie? Because he like low-key brought her back to life. Is she like part zombie, part vampire?
Valid question. It's not, I don't know.
Dead. It's not like changed at the end of her life. That bitch was literally dead on the table.
It was literally like she held Renesmee, and then like, I don't even know if they showed the scene where Renesmee like bites Bella, but like basically Bella dies. Like she has no life in that body anymore.
Oh, it's so freaky.
Mm-hmm.
He's like trying to bring her back and she's like bouncing up. Ugh.
We did talk about the point where like right before Bella went, or I guess that would be her going into labor. Like I had to replay that scene twice because I was like, that looks so painful. Rosalie is about to give Bella the cup of blood. And then Bella drops the cup of blood and her like spine cracks. But like, it looks so painful.
And it sounds horrible.
Mm-hmm. And then she like falls to her knees, but her body is so weak. I was like, how did her legs should have broken from that fall. Like, I don't know. It was really, really gruesome to watch. And yet yeah. I replayed that exact scene twice because I was like, holy shit, do you see this?
I was literally like, ah, is this allowed?
It's me yelling in my room like, what the fuck, do you see this? Yeah, so Edward injects the giant syringe of his venom and Jacob is trying to do CPR. And then at some point he kind of just gives up because like Bella's body is lifeless at this point. And then Edward starts just like biting Bella everywhere that there's skin, and I was like, ugh.
I don't understand why he went around her body. Like, why didn't he just bite her in the leg like a bunch of times in a row instead of like once in your arm, once in your leg, gotta get the other leg. Like, just keep biting her in one spot. I feel like that's more effective, but what do I know? I'm not a vampire.
Even going to the part when he was delivering Renesmee, I expected it to be more bloody, if that makes sense, because like he has to bite through many layers of skin to get to the inside of the womb. Right? So yeah. I don't know. I expected it to be even more gruesome and gory from that aspect. That's how they got the baby out. And when the baby is delivered, of course, well, actually, I don't know why they didn't just use like a doll. That baby was too big to be a newborn. Granted, Renesmee does like grow quickly, but like when the baby came out of Bella's womb, I was like, that's a big baby.
And wasn't it like a freaky CGI baby too?
I don't think in that very first scene. It is when, Rosalie's holding the baby towards the end. But like during the delivery scene, that was definitely a baby. I was like, that's definitely the size of a baby. I can't help but remember how I saw this one thing that said like when they have to film a delivery scene where with a baby, they'll have the baby and then they like cover the baby in jelly.
I've seen that too. That's hilarious.
I think that's so funny. So that's immediately what I thought of when Edward first held Renesmee. I was like, that baby's covered in jelly.
cute.
It's like probably strawberry jelly. That baby is covered in like strawberry jelly or something. Baby's born. Bella's body is just not responsive. Jacob becomes very sad and upset, and he runs out of the Cullen house and sits down and cries. Oh, the one scene that I actually did like was the Sam's pack finally like approaches the Cullen house, and the only people who were remaining were, I think, or the only vampires who were remaining at the house, Alice and Jasper, I think, because Rosalie was holding the baby and Edward was with Bella. And they, Alice and Jasper know that the wolves are coming, and they're like, oh, we're like outnumbered. And then suddenly there's like this fight scene between the wolves and the vampires. I thought that was cool. I was like, fight, 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 fight.
I know, I love this.
I really wanted an action scene or something action worthy, just because why would you have all this tension and you don't get to fight?
Yeah, that's true. The entire book was kind of like that. So it's good they added a little bit of something.
Yeah, the one time that I'm like, okay, I'm fine with a fight scene. Like, I liked the way that it happened in this movie. The only reason that the fighting stops between the wolves and the vampires is because Jacob runs out. And this is after he's imprinted on Renesmee. And he's like, I've imprinted. Well, technically, Edward's the one who says that Jacob's imprinted on Renesmee, and then he like explains to the audience that is like the utmost rule that cannot be broken for the wolves. And I remember Tori and I talking about this for the book episode, and we were like, that is the number one rule.
Yeah, like I still don't get why.
I don't either, but you know, that's apparently what it was. So after that fight happens, everyone is basically just waiting for Bella to, you know, come around and become conscious again. But I did like the scene where I think it's the Cullen girls who are cleaning Bella up. It's just like, I've never seen how they prepare dead bodies for like funeral viewings and stuff like that. But like, that's what it reminded me of, because they're like trying to wipe the blood off, and then they like put Bella in these nice clothes to like, and they brush her hair and like fix her appearance because she probably looked really bad after. I did like that scene. I was like, oh, it's like the end of her human life and then preparing her for a new one. And yep, we love symbolism.
We love the circle of life.
We love the circle of life. I guess they had a few scenes showing like internally the transformation for Bella as she was like going through. And I'm sure they'll probably talk about it more in part two of the movie, but it just shows like flashbacks or like different scenes of like Bella in her lifeless form, and then a version of Bella where she's like writhing in pain. And that kind of was like a good way to show how it was written in the book, where Bella just explains how she's like burning, but she doesn't have enough energy to like move around and show how much pain she's in. So I like that part too. I was like, ooh, look at that. And I guess that's it. Yeah. So like you said, Tori, the very ending of part one for Breaking Dawn is that you just kind of assume Bella's finished her transformation and everyone's waiting for her. Like they're just kind of around her and waiting, including Jacob. And then Bella opens her eyes and they're red. And then the ending credits show up. And I was like, oh,
that's it.
That's it. Dun, dun, dun.
See, the only other thing that I have that I didn't mention is that they never really talk about the fact that like immortal children are a thing. It flashes across the computer screen when they're trying to do research about the like baby, mm-hmm. but they don't ever like discuss what immortal children are or explain like the Denali's history with them. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, like, what are we supposed to think prompts Irina to go to the Volturi? Are they going to change the plot of why the Volturi come to them?
Yeah, I think,
why is she going?
I think what happens is they do change the plot, because at actually ending credits play, and then the very, very end of the movie is the scene with the Volturi, where I guess it's like one of the human receptionists in Volterra is like showing Arrow, Marcus, and Caius a note from Carlisle. The note from Carlisle says that they've added a new member to the Cullen family. I think it's Marcus, the one that speaks really slowly. Marcus says something like, oh, well, now the problem has been like solved. And then Arrow says, oh no, the problem has not been solved. And then says something like, he says that the Cullens have someone or something that he wants, and which I think is supposed to like make you think, oh, it's like Edward and Alice, like the vampires with like powers, kind of like alluding to what happened back in New Moon. So I think maybe they might change the plot all around a little bit. Like, I think Irina still will be involved, but I think they tried to give us a little heads up, like, oh, the Volturi are going to cause problems. Kind of like they did with New Moon, where the Volturi appeared out of nowhere. And we were like, that doesn't happen in the book.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe they will. I guess we'll just have to wait till the next episode to see how that works.
The only like final notes I have is that like, I thought this movie was really visually appealing. I think it was like the best cinematically out of all of them so far. I have a special place in my heart for Catherine Hardwicke's blue filter, but like this movie was just so pretty. Like every scene was just so pretty. My only qualm was that it made Forks look really sunny though. And I was like, this is weird.
Yeah, I thought the movie itself, like if I was just taking it, the movie as is, I thought the movie was fine. Like, yeah, I guess I would watch the movie again. I also think that like in terms of like trying to understand what's happening in the movie without like knowing the details in the book, I think you can kind of make sense of like what the events are so far from this movie alone.
Yeah.
I feel like a person, if they didn't know what the Twilight series was about, but they just kind of jumped in at Breaking Dawn, like they would just be like, oh, okay, so here's the couple, here are all the things that are happening. The details definitely help fill in some of the blanks, but like, I don't know. I think if you didn't know what was happening in the book or during this part of the storyline, you could watch this movie and be like, oh, okay, I have like a gist of what happens. I think it's because of the higher budget that they were able to make it look really nice. Yeah. I think that's why the video, the cinematography for this movie in particular was really good. Although when we took that one quiz for the icebreaker about like rating the movies, I think part one was like one of the lower ranked movies.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I was like, after watching this, I'm like, are you guys sure? Like, we all know that, you know, the first Twilight movie is superior in its own right for various reasons. But after watching Breaking Dawn Part 1, I was like, that one wasn't bad. Like, Eclipse and New Moon were worse
for
a lot of reasons. So I understand why they'd be lower on the list. But Part 1, I was like, that should be in the middle, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
I still think about how, like, the reality of the events that happen in this movie and in this story, like, it's so fast-paced. I was like, this is not realistic. And, like, obviously this is fictional, but I was just like, if you think about it in a real sense, I was like, how does this work?
It's been like 2 years since everything has started.
And like this movie alone, if you think about the timeline realistically, I'm like, this is just like a week, or like it's just like 2 weeks of things happening. I got confused once I thought about it realistically, but like I said, the movie's fine. I'd watch it again.
Yeah, I think as a standalone movie, it's pretty good. You can differentiate it from the Twilight movies. Like, it doesn't necessarily feel like you're watching just like a Twilight movie. Like, New Moon definitely feels like just a depressing Twilight movie. This one is at least cinematic and like, I don't know, there's a different layer to it. The high budget, perhaps, but
I think it's the high budget. Because like we talked about previously with the other movies, they did keep on some of the staff from the previous movies to kind of like keep the Twilight within it, like the screenwriter and stuff like that. So I really do think it's like, even though they constantly change the director, but I do think the budget really helped make it look good.
And all the like really pretty locations definitely didn't hurt. The wedding is so gorgeous.
It's so pretty. Oh my gosh. I couldn't help but think about how pain it would be to break that down though. Like,
no.
After the wedding, I was like, oh my God. And maybe that's just me being like an event planner mentality. But like, I was like, holy shit, that's going to be a pain. I'm going to be there forever if I had to break down that event.
Honestly.
Oh, I know another part that I kind of wish they'd added in the book during the wedding scenes. When Bella and Edward they drive off for their honeymoon, the car was supposed to have shoes attached to strings at the back of it, and they didn't do that in the movie. And I was like, oh man, like right before they drove off the driveway, I was like, oh, I hope there are the shoes. I just really wanted to see that, but nope.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That would have been really funny.
I just remembered it out of the blue. Oh man, that would have been fun. That would have been fun to see. Were there any scenes that you remember or parts in the book that you wish they had added to the movie, if you can remember?
I can think of, just because I don't know if they're gonna add anything else to the second half. Like, they haven't mentioned anything about the like Jay Jenks thing, which I kind of like wish they did, but that could be in the second part. I don't think I ever watched the second movie.
I didn't. So, I didn't watch the second movie.
So maybe they'll talk about it. I don't know. But if not, I wish they would have added that because I thought that was like a cool like second little plot. But I guess we'll see.
Part of me wonders if we should watch this last movie together.
Maybe we
can. Ooh, just so that we can play off of each other's energy as we're watching the movie.
Yeah, maybe we should.
I think that would be fun. I did think it was interesting in the, again, going back to the wedding, Bella and Edward meet Elazar and Carmen along with the rest of the Denali clan. And I don't remember that in the book. Like, you're only introduced to them towards the second half of Bella's final chapter or final portion. I don't know if they were introduced in the wedding. I thought it was just like Tanya and Kate who went to the wedding. I didn't realize it was the whole family, the whole clan. Maybe
yeah,
wrong.
All the other deaths are like, why are these people so beautiful?
I know. Eric and Mike being like, they've got to be sisters, referring to Tanya, Kate, and Irina. And I'm just like, oh, okay. They're just adding that to emphasize that the vampire sisters are beautiful.
I guess maybe their plot line, I wish they had like talked about a little more, because we don't know anything about the immortal children. And we don't know anything about what happened to their mother based off the movie.
That's true. I guess
so they... Why is Renesmee such a big deal, you know?
They might have that added into the second movie, the last movie. Maybe. We don't know. Okay. I think that's all of my notes. Like I said, you can watch all of these movies on Netflix. So if you wanted to... I guess it's a little too late to watch along with us, but if you have a lot of time and you can watch all the movies and listen to our commentary with them, you are more than welcome to do so. I think it's safe to say that both Tori and I kind of recommend watching this movie if you haven't seen it before. I think even if you don't understand and you just watch it for fun, like it's enjoyable in its own way, but not in like a, not in a horrible, uncomfy way that maybe Eclipse and New Moon makes me. It's enjoyable in its own right.
Yeah, it doesn't like make me terribly depressed. Grossed out a little bit at some points, but I'm not like, oh my God, I'm so sad. So watch it.
So we recommend you watch Breaking Dawn Part 1. For our next episode, we're going to be watching the final movie of the Twilight series and then talking about that. Honestly, I have no idea what to expect because I feel like anything could happen in the movie version of the Twilight story. If there's nothing else, thank you all for listening to this week's episode. Remember to tune in every other Monday as we fall right back into our Twilight obsession like it's 2008 again.
You can find Cull in the Shots on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and your usual podcasting platforms.
Come sit with us next time at lunch for more of our sparkling personalities.
Bye!
Watch Twilight movies when you have time.